37. For those who don't regularly worship with us, we've been working our way through Luke's Gospel, and this is the portion of Scripture that we've come to. So Luke and chapter 11, and I'm going to start reading from verse 37. We're going to look at just a few verses this morning, and I'll highlight those verses as we go along. So verse 37 of Luke chapter 11, and it's on page 1043 in the Church Bible. So that's 1043. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee was surprised when he noticed that Jesus did not first wash before the meal. When the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But now, as for what is inside you, be generous to the poor, and everything will be cleaned for you. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces." Now, these are the verses that we're going to be thinking about this morning. One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Have I skipped a little bit there? I thought I had. Thank you. I've just realised that. Let me go back to verse 44. "Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which people walk over without knowing it." One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." Well, we'll leave it there, and we thank God for his word to us. Let's open our Bible, shall we, at the passage that I just read to us. And we're looking at a few verses in particular. Verses 44 to 46. Now, I want to say two important things about the Lord Jesus this morning. Two really important things. And the first thing that I want to say, it will appear on the screen, is this. Jesus makes people clean. Jesus makes people clean. Now, I was going to ask for two volunteers. I'm now going to ask for one volunteer. I don't know whether you can see at the back, but I've tried to construct a grave at the front here. It's a bit of a makeshift effort. And what I really wanted was someone small to pretend to be dead and to crawl into our grave and play dead. That's not going to happen. It's too small. But I found a willing volunteer through the back. And so we're going to put that person there into the grave. Now, I do need another volunteer. I need someone who's got a nice, strong wrist to help me out, who's going to do some painting for me. Any volunteers? Can I have some help? Oh, thank you, Joshua. That's great. You see, what I'd like you to do is to paint this grave. There's no paint in here, just in case you were worrying. But I want you to pretend to paint it, because, well, the idea is to whitewash it, all right? So there's your paint, and there is your paint brush. And it needs painting all over. You can come around this side so that people can see what you're doing. And you will be doing this for a little while because there's quite a bit to paint. But if you want to have a rest, feel free to do that. And let me just try to illustrate something of the progress that Joshua is making. You see, it's coming on rather nicely. All right, and eventually he'll have worked his way all across to the end of the grave. Now, in Bible times, people used to be buried in caves. Now, God said to his people of old, the Israelites, that they weren't allowed to touch dead people, corpses. So if Peter was lying dead on the front row, you don't have to do that. If I was to touch him, I would become ceremonially unclean. Actually, there were lots of things that God said in the law that if a person touched, it would make them ceremonially unclean. If you had an infection or a disease and anybody touched you, you would make them ceremonially unclean. You yourself would be ceremonially unclean. There were lots of things that you weren't allowed to touch. There were lots of things that you weren't allowed to eat. If you ate them, then you would become ceremonially unclean. You can have a rest if you like. Don't feel you've got to keep going, but it's great if you do. Now, such laws were given to the Israelites to mark them out as being different from all the other nations that surrounded them. You see, it was God's will for his people to be a holy people, a people belonging to him. Now, I perhaps should say at this point in the talk this morning that these ceremonial laws do not apply to us. They cease to be applicable when Jesus came into the world. So, assuming you're dead, you're not, I know, but it would be right for me to touch Peter, and I could eat all kinds of food that would have been forbidden during Old Testament times for the Israelites. So, the people were not allowed to touch dead bodies or corpses. And we've got a verse up there that emphasizes this. Whoever touches a human corpse will be unclean, ceremonially unclean, for 7 days. But do you know what the Pharisees did? What were the Pharisees known for? They took an interest in God's law, but what did they add to God's law? Well, they added all kinds of rules, didn't they, and traditions. And they said basically that you defiled yourself when you touched a dead corpse, but you also defiled yourself or made yourself ceremonially unclean when you stood on the grave or when you touched the grave. So in order to prevent people from going anywhere near graves and making themselves ceremonially unclean, what do you think they did? They painted them white. They whitewashed them. They did exactly what Joshua is doing. Shall we complete the hard work that you're doing here? Okay, that's great. All the way over. That's right. And you can put the brush back in the pot, and you can go and sit down on your seat. Thank you ever so much for your help this morning. Yes, when you were walking along the road, you could clearly see the grave because it had been whitewashed, and you would know that you needed to keep distance from it. That's what they did. Will you look at your Bibles at verse 44? verse 44 of Luke chapter 11. And here Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, and he tells them that they're like unmarked graves that men walked over without knowing it. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves. In other words, graves that hadn't been whitewashed, that hadn't been painted, which men walk over without knowing it. Now, what on earth did Jesus mean when he said this? Well, I think what Jesus meant was this. You Pharisees, when people come into contact with you, when they learn from you, when they take on board your teaching, when they effectively follow you and become your disciples, they become unclean. More unclean than they were before. They become really sinful because you men are sinful. You men are wicked. And it was true, wasn't it, that these men were wicked. They didn't really love God. And they were full of pride and selfishness. They were full of hypocrisy. On one occasion, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are." Wow. Look at what it says in verse 45. One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." You see, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they considered themselves to be really holy people. A cut above everybody else, but Jesus knew exactly what they were like. And Jesus basically said to them, "Look, you're not holy. You're full of sin and wickedness." And that's exactly what we are, isn't it? As older friends, middle-aged friends, young people and boys and girls, we are full of sin. We fail to keep God's laws. We go our own way. We do our own thing without thought or regard for God. For this reason, we need the Lord Jesus. We need the Lord Jesus to forgive us and to make us holy. Or to put it another way, we need the Lord Jesus to make us clean. And only the Lord Jesus can make us clean. I'm going to say a little bit more about Jesus as time goes on this morning. But the first thing that I want to say, if we can go back 1 Peter, is this, that Jesus makes people clean. He makes people holy as they come to him and as they trust in him as their Lord and as their Saviour. Well, we're going to sing another song now, and it's number 609 again. It'd be good if you had your Bibles open, because we're going to look at another verse together. As we think about a second really important thing about the Lord Jesus. Can we have the second heading up on the screen, please, gents? Jesus gives rest, and his burden is light. I need another volunteer. And Peter, I'm wondering whether you would come and volunteer for me. Would you mind? Thank you ever so much. That's really, really helpful. In fact, you may have helped me before with this particular illustration. Does it ring a bell? No? Okay, doesn't matter. Would you mind popping that on there? That's lovely. Now, the teachers of the law were very interested in what? It's not a trick question, it's an easy question. Rules, yeah, or laws. Think back to the time of Moses. God gave to Moses something on two tablets of stone. What did God give to Moses on two tablets of stone? The Ten Commandments. And the teachers of the law would have impressed upon people to have kept the Ten Commandments. And, well, these tins of custard represent the Ten Commandments. Actually, there were lots of other laws that God gave to his people at that time, so we could put a lot more of these into the bag, but there are only so many cans of custard that one can bring along to church on a Sunday morning. All right, how does that feel? Is that okay? Yeah? Okay, well, let's just imagine this morning that the bag was a lot bigger than this, and it was filled to overflowing. But not only did the teachers of the law expect the people to keep God's law, they also expected them to keep their own rules, or their own laws, or we might say their own traditions. And there were many, many, many of their own particular rules and traditions. And so we're going to give those to Peter to hold as well. Just stay there a minute. Let me think about what some of them amounted to. Oh yes, you had to wash your hands before you had a meal. Let's say that's what that one represents. They said that on the Sabbath day you couldn't pick ears of corn. Let's say that's what that one represents. They also said that you couldn't rub the grain between your fingers like that. Let's say that's what that one there represents. And they had so many laws. Let's put that one there. That they made it really, really difficult for people to keep them all. Okay. That's right. You wouldn't have wanted the teachers of the law to have been your teachers, because they had so many rules, you wouldn't believe it. Put your neck that way. Right. Anyway, I wanted to put all the balls on Peter just to kind of illustrate how many different rules they had. Now, let's imagine that this is one's walk through life, and, well, if you can make it through those doors, you effectively enter into heaven. Now, can you take all that stuff and all these balls separately, and walk through life all the way to the door? No, you can't. No, you can't. Tell you what, sit down for a minute, and I'll come back to you, in just a second. Leave that on. That's right. Just leave that on. Everything else can come off, but leave that on for a minute, and I'll come back to you in just a second, okay? Are you okay? Yeah? Good? Well, the teachers of the law said to the people that they ministered to, you've got to keep all of God's laws, and you've got to keep all our rules and traditions, and if you keep them really well, and you don't fail to keep any of them, well then, God will accept you, and heaven will be yours. The problem was, the people couldn't keep all of those rules. And they tried, but they were such a burden. And when people failed to keep the laws, they knew that they had done wrong, and well, they felt guilty. And perhaps worst of all, they felt worried and anxious because they knew that by their own efforts they could not secure a place for themselves in heaven. Look at what we read in verse 46. You may like to read it with me. Jesus replied, "And you experts in the law, woe to you! Because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry." Notice what comes next. "And you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them." I love what Jesus says in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Can we have that on the screen, please? And I'll read it to you. This is Jesus speaking. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." There are two things that I want to emphasize from these verses about Jesus. And the first thing is this, that Jesus gives rest. What is Jesus saying here when he tells us that he is able to give us rest? Well, I think what Jesus is saying here is this, that if we are somebody, illustrated by Peter here, that's desperately trying to keep God's commands, to keep all of God's rules, and is finding it a great burden, and they're not managing to do so, and they're feeling guilty, and they know that they haven't done enough to be accepted by God and enter into his heaven, they can come to him. They can come to Jesus. And in Jesus, they can find rest for their souls. In other words, in Jesus, they can find forgiveness. In Jesus, they can receive the gift of heaven. And you know, when you receive forgiveness, when you receive the certain hope of heaven from Jesus, you don't need to worry endlessly about whether or not you can keep God's rules or not. Peter, will you just stand up again a moment? Thank you very much. And I want you to pretend to be a person that comes to Jesus and receives from him in faith the gifts, the wonderful gifts that he has to give. So will you come to me? I'm pretending to be Jesus and receive firstly the gift of forgiveness and secondly the gift of heaven. That's great. Now, maybe you just come and stand over here now. That's lovely. Now, Peter is still carrying the laws. But the bottom line is that he doesn't have to worry endlessly about making sure that he keeps them, or even whether he fails to keep them. Because, you see, he knows God's forgiveness, and he has received the gift of eternal life, the gift of heaven. So Jesus, firstly, gives rest for the soul. But secondly, from this verse, I want to emphasize that Jesus' burden is light. Now, just for the purposes of illustration, I need you to pick up those again, if you don't mind. And that, and perhaps we'll have one ball as well. Let's imagine that Peter's carrying lots of these balls. Jesus was so different from the teachers of the law. They were like chalk and cheese. You see, the teachers of the law, they placed all kinds of impossible burdens upon people. But Jesus, as you can see here, says that his burden is light. Now Jesus, when he called people to follow him, still expected them to value God's law. He wanted them to follow him and keep his commands, his Father's commands, God's laws. But he never expected his people to observe all the human traditions, all the various teachings that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had added to God's word. Oh, you've still got one. You need to get rid of one. Yes, Jesus still expects us to uphold God's law. But you know, when we become a Christian, when we put our faith in Jesus, by his Spirit, he writes the law of God upon our hearts. I don't know whether you can see what it says back there, but it simply says, I love your law. So God's laws aren't a burden to keep. No, they're a delight. They're a joy to keep. But there's more. You see, when we become a Christian, God, by his Spirit, comes to live within us. And he empowers us. He helps us to live according to God's ways. How does that feel now? It feels much lighter, doesn't it? Now, where did we say heaven was? The door at the end there. Now, we're going to walk through life slowly. But remember, the law of God is your delight. So let's have a big beaming smile as you walk through life seeking to follow Jesus and walk in his commands. Let's have a big smile. Now, is he worried? Is he anxious that perhaps he might break a law and not be able to get to heaven? No, he's not. Why? Because Jesus has forgiven him. And heaven is a certainty. He's already received it as a gift from God. Let's walk all the way there. That's it. To the end. And that will suffice. You can go through the door. You can take all that stuff off. And then you can come back in and sit down. And thank you ever so much this morning for your help. Let's read this again, shall we? Because it's such a lovely verse. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, there's an invitation here, isn't there? From Jesus, not only to the people of his day, but to us as well. Jesus says, come unto me. Come to me. Put your trust in me. Receive me as your Lord and as your Saviour. If you do that, I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls. My burden, well, it's not like that of the teachers of the law or the Pharisees. My burden is light. Shall we pray together?